Let's go. Today we're going to do an advanced stat preview of LSU versus Arkansas, battle for the Golden Boot. Don't forget, if you're going to the game this weekend, we'll be meeting up at a bar called City Park on Friday night at 7:30 p.m. Central. Let's get to it.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the field. Yeah. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real. Everything gon' get the value, it's the power. LSU with Carter, it's the power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the Titan, I'ma always keep it real.
Alrighty, we're going to give you my prediction a little bit later in the show. This is a really good website that covers Arkansas athletics. I follow him on Twitter. His name is Adam Ford, and he does an advanced stat preview for every Arkansas game. And of course, we are playing Arkansas this weekend. And as you can see, when you compare the LSU offense versus the Arkansas defense, you see that this looks to be a pretty evenly ranked matchup, right? LSU's offense 49th in EPA per play. I do believe that when you adjust this, the LSU offense is actually the most explosive offense in all of college football. So once again, these are a bunch of fancy schmancy numbers, and these are the actual rankings, not necessarily the numbers themselves. But you do see that the LSU offense does not turn the football over all that much. Compared to the Arkansas defense, they do not turn the football over all that much on their end. So Arkansas's not really been that good at creating turnovers, and they also have not been that great this year at creating havoc, which is something Blake Baker's defense has done a really good job of. One other thing that LSU has done an amazing job of is preventing sacks. So if you go to our Twitter account at Power Hour LSU, I released a chart earlier today on a stat that we've talked about quite a bit when it comes to Garrett Nussmeier, pressure to sack ratio, right? It is a pretty simple statistic. How many times when you are pressured do you actually get sacked? Garrett Nussmeier, obviously one of the best. I'm a little shocked that sack rate is only third. I thought they would be first because LSU, of course, has only been sacked twice this season with Garrett Nussmeier at quarterback, and both of those came in the same game versus South Carolina. Now, there are instances where I felt Garrett Nussmeier should have taken the sack. Instead, it ended up being turnovers two of the times, and a third time it could have been a turnover versus Nichols. So sometimes taking a sack is a good thing. It would have prevented the early interception versus South Carolina that was called back for a penalty, and it would have prevented the interception versus Ole Miss. Take the sack. And Arkansas's pass rush is decent with Landon Jackson, who obviously is going to be pretty motivated. Now, what's very interesting is I thought Arkansas's rushing numbers defensively were going to be pretty good advanced stat-wise, but I thought LSU's rushing yards would be a lot worse considering LSU has not been able to really run the football this season, but they are 63rd in EPA per rush, which is middle of the road. So I'll take that when you take a look at the advanced stats here. And when it comes to running the football, they have a success rate that is 40th in the country. So Brian Kelly was not lying earlier this week when he said that the success rate for LSU's offense wasn't all that bad. Now, you take a look at EPA per play, LSU's defense top 30 in the country, top 20 in the country at stopping the run, and top 40 in the country at stopping the pass. Now, I do think this is a little misleading, and part of why I didn't like Adams, this only thing, this is a really good piece, is when he did the stat breakdown, it doesn't account for who you actually play. That's why, you know, adjusted numbers are better, right? So adjusted run rate, he didn't have the numbers here But overall, LSU's defense, according to the analytics, has looked to be pretty good this year, in particular stopping the run. They are 19th EPA per rush, but 70th in success rate. So basically, that means they don't give up a whole lot of explosive rushing plays. They're also top 40 in EPA per pass, but like we said, a lot of that is opponent adjusted. So what about Arkansas's opponent this weekend, okay? Well, what's LSU's opponent this weekend? Excuse me. Taylen Green looks to be available for Arkansas. Now, how available will he be? Because it is a lower body injury. It's not quite the same of a lower body injury to a pure pocket quarterback, right? If Tom Brady has a lower body injury, yeah, it still matters if you can't really fully plant. But if you're truly a runner at the quarterback position like Taylen Green is, lower body injuries are very important. We'll only be able to see that when time comes, but it looks to be Taylen Green is full ready go for Arkansas. Is there a little bit of gamesmanship mix in there? Sure. Could there be a world where Arkansas isn't totally honest with the injury report here? Yeah, there could be. I think any coach would be at this point, because preparing for Taylen Green is different than preparing for Malachi Singleton, the backup. So I think LSU, their chance of winning skyrockets if the backup has to play. And Malachi Singleton, who is only a year two quarterback with very little experience, and I mean very little. He played versus UAPB, which is the worst team in all of Division I or Division II. And then obviously he led the game-winning drive versus Tennessee, but the previous drives he had to play, he really didn't do a whole lot. And on the Tennessee drive, they let him score because of time restrictions. So, you know, he's decent. I don't think it's like a complete fall off altogether like it was a few years ago when Arkansas started a quarterback who transferred the next year to Texas State and immediately became third string. And the backup, who actually threw a touchdown versus us, was a walk-on. So Arkansas's starting quarterback might not be as good as KJ Jefferson was for Arkansas last season, but he still is pretty good. And Arkansas's backup quarterback is definitely better than the backup situation that they had 2 years ago. So it's one of those things to monitor as we move a little bit closer to game time. A few key players to keep an eye out for this weekend. And I know names are tough to remember, but numbers are a lot easier to remember. Okay. Just like with every single college football team in existence today, the players that you have to look out for are the single digits, okay? Starting off with Andrew Armstrong, number two, by far their best offensive weapon at wide receiver. Number four, Isaac Tesla is a guy who has some of the best hands you'll ever see, kind of a possession guy, but can also get deep in a scramble drill situation. Isaiah Satania is someone who LSU recruited. His parents played at LSU, ran track at LSU. He's number six, a very speedy guy, also their punt returner. And then Tyrone Broden is a pretty good player in his own right, number five. And their tight ends are number eight and number nine, Ty Washington and Luke Haas, respectively. They also have some other good tight ends as well. This offensive line is, for the most part, pretty solid compared to where they were last year when they were the worst offensive line I have ever seen in the SEC. Definitely one of the worst. And as you saw at the end of that game, LSU's defensive line took over when it really mattered. So you take a look at the running back position. Once again, the single digit zero, Braylon Russell, the backup, is a really, really solid player, 250-pound true freshman. And the starter is probably their best overall player on the team, and that is Utah transfer number 22, Jaquindon Jackson. You know, I expected him that this season. He was definitely under the radar as a guy who would come in and take full advantage of Bobby Petrino's rush schemes, and he has certainly done that. So I do like this Arkansas offense. They have played really, really, really well this season. Now, the one coach in the coaching world that has taken over is a guy by the name of T. Will, Travis Williams, the defensive coordinator for Arkansas. We just ran through the advanced numbers for Arkansas's defense. They look to be pretty good, and this unit has been, for the most part, pretty good this year. Now, have they benefited this year with a few offenses that weren't as good as they were in the past? Okay. But before I do that, let's get to a few questions here. Jamal says, damn, I thought you were young, Carter. Wait, do I not look young? Wait, do I look old? Because I'm not wearing a hat. I was going to see. I guess I have to wear hats or else I look old. That's so interesting. Jared says, I hope we don't overlook Arkansas. I guarantee you they are not overlooking them. Florida, Auburn, and A&M for you as your top three games that LSU plays every season. So is Arkansas a top three rival for you when it comes to LSU? 63% of you say no. Okay. But we also say hi to Jake Smith. Let's go to Mystic. Arkansas's pass blocking isn't that good. And LSU is the best pass rush that they will play. Yeah, I agree with that. But A&M's pass rush is really good, and they tore them up. They really, really, really do. But we'll get to the LSU side of things. I'll run through the key defensive players here really quickly for Arkansas. Obviously, a lot of you know Landon Jackson. He played a season at LSU, number 40. This is year three for him at Arkansas. And he's just good. I mean, there's just no other way around it. 0 and 5 are really good defensive tackles for them. And then 97 has really come along with them. Quincy Rhodes on the second level, Xavier Sory, the transfer from Georgia. And then in the secondary, this unit's been pretty solid. Do I think they're spectacular? No. Have they exceeded expectations? Yes, because Arkansas secondaries are rarely good. It's always been a thorn in their side, the defensive backfield, and the playmaker for them has been TJ Metcalf, number 18. He has won SEC Defensive Player of the Week. He had, I think, 3 turnovers versus Auburn. He's just a really, really, really solid player, but Travis Williams is the talk of the town when it comes to the defensive coordinator. Obviously, he is already being rumored to potentially be the next guy at Auburn if this Hugh Freeze experiment gets worse. I doubt that he goes anywhere because Auburn's recruiting really well right now. But Travis Williams, that's where he played. That's where he coached. It was at Auburn. Then he got the defensive coordinator opportunity at UCF under Gus Malzahn. And then he got the defensive coordinator opportunity at Arkansas. And he has hit the ground running. He's done well on the recruiting trail for them as well. So, you know, there's a lot of pressure on this LSU offense because so many people gave Travis Williams a lot of credit for shutting Tennessee down offensively, and he did shut him down. Now, does that look as good as it did at the time? It doesn't, right? Because this Tennessee offense through the air has looked really, really, really flawed. Same thing is true, you know, with Arkansas's defense going up against Oklahoma State's offense, right? It was only week 2. It was on the road, and they shut him down. They've quite frankly shut him down. And, you know, look at that play. One of the touchdowns was just a fluky trick play, 80-yarder. Outside of that, they were under 300 total yards of offense, and that game went into overtime. Right? There was a pick 6 in that game for Oklahoma State. So stat-wise, it doesn't look that great. But, you know, the advanced numbers show that the Arkansas defense shut down Oklahoma State. Well, when you look back at it now, Oklahoma State's offense has been terrible. So, look, a lot of Arkansas's results don't look as good as initially thought. You know, close loss versus Texas A&M. They didn't have Connor Wakeman, and they could not block Texas A&M's front. And Arkansas had an explosive play touchdown early, and then offensively they turned into a corn cob. UAB was a close game, and Auburn was a weird game as well. 2 explosive play touchdowns. I do feel Arkansas was a better team, and they deserve the result. But obviously Auburn, of course, has had their fair share of issues this year as well. So, you know, you take a look at Arkansas and their 4 power 4 teams that they have played. It is clear up to this point that Oklahoma State has been under expectation. Auburn has been under expectation, and Tennessee is definitely under expectation compared to what we thought at the beginning of the season. And A&M's just a good team who they lost to in a very close game. So, look, is this Arkansas team really freaking good? Yes. I wouldn't say they're special, but compared to last year's team, which wasn't good, you only lost by three if you're an Arkansas fan going into that game. Okay? So, the bottom line is we're going on the road versus a team coming off a bye. And the reason why the poll question is what it is, we say out of Hogs on the Hill, I was on their show yesterday. The reason why the poll question says what it says, all right, is Arkansas a top three rival for you when it comes to LSU? 60% of you have already said no. And if I would have stretched it out to top five, I would expect the numbers to be somewhat similar. And you only play eight conference games a year. The thing that you should always fear in this rivalry is how one-sided it is. All of us have been in relationships in the past that are one-sided. One person drastically loves the other more than the other person does. Happens all the time. Happens all the freaking time. And this is the case, right? Do LSU fans care about the Golden Boot? They do. But do Arkansas fans care about the Golden Boot? It's their Super Bowl. It's just it. It's just how it is. Because Arkansas isn't really a college football playoff contender. They haven't been in the modern era at all. So every year, this is a game that they circle. And it's probably the most one-sided trophy game that we have in America right now. All right? Like I've never seen it. LSU is just another game. When they won this game in 2019, they didn't even go to the trophy. They didn't even bother with it. Okay? So, obviously, it's a game that matters a lot to me, matters a lot to my wife, who is an Arkansas fan, and that should scare the crap out of you. You got a top 10 victory this past weekend, and I still think Ole Miss is a top 10 team in college football. I really do think so, and that's how good of a victory that was for LSU. And now, you know, you were in the same spot 2 years ago. Overtime, emotional, primetime victory, and now you're on the road at Arkansas. It's going to be cool, right? One thing that should also concern you as an LSU fan is this is the first time this team will be in cold weather, period. Period. I mean, I don't know if you can get the LSU indoor facility to get down in the 40s or the 30s, but it is a little bit different, right, if you've never really played in cold weather. And how many cold weather games did LSU play last year? Well, not that many, right? So, look, I don't think it's going to be a big, big, big factor. I don't think it's not going to be 10 degrees. It's not going to be the frozen tundra. But it is something. And as great as LSU's fans were, as big of a difference they were versus Ole Miss, I highly recommend you go watch the end of the Arkansas versus Tennessee game where the fans were a massive difference. Okay? Let's go to Jared, who keeps up with the weather better than me. He says it'll be 60 degrees, so maybe I'm off. Maybe I'm off, but I get to see Jared tomorrow night, so I'm pretty excited about that. Once again, PHO get together tomorrow night. City Park is the name of the bar. Friday night's going to be a good time. Okay? Be very chill. Now, something else. Will Brian Kelly fix what was a massive, massive issue versus Ole Miss? I think so. All right. Brian Kelly is currently addressing the media. We'll get to some of his comments here in just a second. And there you go. We'll get to a few comments. Normally, the Thursday press conference isn't really all that elaborate, right? you already do a Monday press conference, then you do Feinbaum, and then you do the Wednesday morning teleconference, and then you have this Thursday press conference, and then you go do the coaches show, right? Normally, the coaches show features some more direct questioning from the fans. Normally, we get a little bit more juice because the guy being interviewed is in a more relaxed state, okay? So we'll see what happens. But Tyree Adams did have a small injury, a small procedure. Jared, thank you for the super. And we'll see. We'll see what happens. Okay. He is the top backup offensive lineman. Now, why is that relevant? Why do I want to talk about Tyree Adams? Well, I am a big believer in not switching out offensive linemen. Especially this year, when you returned as many snaps as you did. Okay, you returned 4 out of 5 starters, and you returned a center who had a higher recruiting ranking and is more athletic than Charles Turner. He's stronger in DJ Chester. So I'm a big, big, big believer in not switching things up. What I will say is, albeit Ole Miss, their defensive tackles are really good. And I mean really good. If you watch the LSU-Ole Miss game, and I highly recommend everyone do so, watch every single snap, and just watch the middle of the offensive line, you'll see disruption, okay? You'll see a lot of disruption right up the gut, okay? Now, why is that relevant? Well, it's hard to function offensively when there is that much disruption up the middle. So my question in the video title, will Brian Kelly fix this? Can he fix the middle of the LSU offensive line? Because Will Campbell has been amazing. I understand the penalties stink, and he has been penalized, I think, 4 times, few false starts mixed in there. But for the most part, he's been elite. He's lived up to expectation, and the expectations were very lofty. All right. Emory Jones has played better. You know, the USC game was tough, but since then, he has done some really good things. And Garrett Dellinger has mowed some people down. But can we get better play out of Miles Frazier? Now, for me, Miles Frazier, the only games where he's been not great is when he's gone up against the really, really, really good defensive tackles. Other than that, he's been fine, honestly. But DJ Chester has been an issue. Now, the one reason I would not take him out is he is doing the most important thing correct, which is snapping the football accurately. All right, and when you play as many pass snaps as we do, and we have as many dropbacks and shotgun as we do, those are very important. All right. Now, has Chester just been downright terrible? No, he's not. He's not. But he's got to play better. Now, one huge defense is he's only a year two guy. All right. So I think he will get better. Year two guys, I'm definitely going to be more patient, especially in the trenches, especially if your snaps are accurate. Okay. Let's go to Jared. His super chat says, this will be the opposite of what people think. We get the running game going, including Garrett Nussmeier, win by over 10. Okay. I agree. I really do think LSU will play well. I really do think so. Now, why am I a little concerned about that? Because look, I've been pretty honest about everything that I've seen up to this point. I feel like you guys understand that I'm a diehard fan of this team, as are many of you, but I also give you honest analysis. I think based on what we've seen this team do, all right, and so, and all the flaws and some of the underperformances and disappointments and all of that, we have exceeded expectation up to this point in the season. I really do think we have. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, ultimately, fairly or unfairly, and this is not me who does this, but everyone judges coaches by wins and losses and championship appearances and all of that. All right. So LSU, as many of you know, have only lost one game. Okay. We're one game away from bowl eligibility. But when you really break it down, did LSU deserve to win the South Carolina game? I think a lot of you would say probably not. But deserve doesn't count. It matters if you did it and LSU went out there and did it. And that is something. Did LSU deserve to beat Ole Miss? No. But did they? They did. And that is something, right? And while I do share the success rate discrepancy from Parker at Stats O'War, like I did earlier this week, and I share, like many of you saw, you know, the fortunate pick six mistakes that neither of which were called, we're still able to win that game. While we couldn't stop their run or the explosive runs or anything like that, all of that aside is that we went out there and won those games. So two things can be true, but they can't be true at once. All right. LSU very well might not be as good as what their record says it is. And there are plenty of people in the national media who feel that way. Okay. Josh Pate had LSU five spots behind Ole Miss in his power rankings. The cover three guys. A lot of you sent me this segment. I still haven't listened to it, but they called LSU overrated, overvalued, every name under the sun as LSU's ranked number eight. And I listen to Vegas podcasts. I listen to different opinions. There's a lot of people believing in Arkansas winning this game this weekend. And judging by expectation and judging by how well they've played in games, most people would consider Arkansas playing closer to their ceiling than LSU playing to theirs. But one thing could also be true. Maybe LSU hadn't played their best game yet. Maybe that's this weekend, as Jared points out. Okay? Let's go to Sherry Berry, one of our many PHL patrons. She says, looking forward to see our run game grow this week. Yeah, expect a lot of Canyon Durham this weekend. So there you go. Now, coming up next, I'm about to do something I thought I would never do, which is number one, bring up a New Orleans Saints topic because there is a big game tonight. But number two, criticize Drew Brees. Really? Book your 360 spin booth experience today with Zion Imaging. Yes, that's my buddy Jaron Thomas who started this venture years ago. And look at the smiles on these faces. This state-of-the-art photo booth is so incredible. I work in the wedding and event industry, and anytime I see a 360 photo booth, it takes your event, whether it's a reunion, a wedding, a conference, no matter what it is, it takes it to another level. Give them a follow on Facebook. Book them today. There is a special deal going on now where you can get up to 40% off. This is all the info. Give them a call today, 318-469-4265, or go to Zion Imaging. That's xyanimaging.com. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at N-O-P-O-D will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with N-O-P-O-D, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. All right, so Drew Brees, obviously my favorite NFL quarterback of all time. That's my biases included. Peyton Manning, unbiased, my favorite quarterback of all time. But Drew Brees, into the Saints Hall of Fame tonight. So freaking excited to watch that. But I cannot wait for this to happen. All right, so Drew Brees asked the Saints fans at halftime, and I think they're going to put this on Amazon as well, to do this chant with him, his chant that he would do with the Saints before every game. Okay? Now, do you really think Joe Schmo, 12 Bud Lights deep, is going to be able to do this? You know, Saints fans are getting toasted tonight. It's a celebration. I mean, you have to when your number one wide receiver tonight is Bub Means. So type Y for yes, type N for no. Do you believe Saints fans will be able to execute this chant tonight? They better put this on every video board. They better have cards out for Saints fans to remember this. 1, 2, win for you. 3, 4, win some more. 5, 6, win for kicks. 7, 8, win. It's great. 9, 10, win again, win again. You have to admit, if you're not in a football huddle and there's not the great Drew Brees leading it, you would think this was a middle school cheerleader chant. But I love Drew. I'm going to try and get it done because I'll probably be sipping on a lime beer while I watch my Whodats tonight, the great Drew Brees. So if you are going to the game tonight, some of you are, I don't care if you're like this viewer, my brain several hurricanes deep trying to get my last two brain cells to remember this. Y'all better do this damn chant for the GOAT, Drew Brees. I'm excited about the game tonight. Oh, man. I love it. I love it. Sibley, we're still working on it. I think our best chance is the offseason. I'll give you a call about that, Sibley. I quit Drew Brees when he tried to help Purdue beat us. Oh, man. Okay. Here's my opinion on this. The Drew Brees-Purdue situation when he decided to be an assistant coach. Okay, for those that don't remember, Drew Brees stepped on the sidelines for Purdue when they had an interim coach and became an assistant for this game. Okay? I didn't give a damn. First off, we beat them 63 to gazillion. All right? People in the Purdue side of things knew going into that game that it was going to be a disaster. Right? Coach left, replaced the coach. The team is still god-awful. And I think it was kind of a PR move, if anything. Hey, Drew, come stand on our sideline. And honest to God, all of our players started getting his autograph. So it was actually a good moment for a lot of our guys getting to meet Drew Brees after the game. But if you actually watched him during the game, he really didn't coach. Like, he didn't have a headset on. So it's not like he was calling plays or anything like that. And I also know Jarrett's being sarcastic. But there were a lot of LSU fans are like, Drew, how could you do this to us? And I'm like, wait, if my alma mater called me to coach a game, stand on the sideline, hell yeah, I'm doing it. Hell yeah. Now, I want to publicly say this in front of 113 viewers. Obviously, we do a Thursday night live lower than a little bit earlier than our normal time. So I don't have like a gazillion followers. Okay. But I do want to share one quick rant and we'll get back into LSU stuff. This Tom Brady thing pissed me off. If y'all don't mind, this Tom Brady thing pissed me off. So he signed an ownership deal and it got passed with the Las Vegas Raiders. And if anyone's actually listened to Tom Brady announce a game, it's not been great. And I think it's because of this ownership deal. Because now it's come out, and Tom Brady probably knew this, which is why I think he's been stiff in the broadcasting booth. Tom Brady, as a broadcaster, can't go watch other teams practice. All right, that is a big part of the pre-production meetings. He also can't attend those meetings as an owner of the Las Vegas Raiders. He also cannot, in the broadcasting booth, criticize a referee. Can I criticize a player? Can I criticize a coach? He can't do it. So, Drew Brees has let it be known that he wants to call games. To my knowledge, he is not an owner of any NFL team, and he has let it be known that he wants to broadcast football games. It's time for Tom Brady to step aside and let Drew Brees get the microphone. Now, would Drew Brees ever do such a thing? No, he wouldn't ever publicly say it. Or put Greg Olsen in the number one booth, back with his old partner. Greg Olsen is top 10 color commentators I've ever heard on a football game. And I, and me being a play-by-play and former color guy as well, I judge that a little bit more critically than others. Put Drew Brees in the number two booth. Or put him in he just wants to do it. But you got a guy like Tom Brady who's got a gazillion dollars. Fox paid him $300 million. Which to me was a way overpay. $25 million a year for average analysis and a guy who can't say anything in the booth without the fear of losing his equity in the Vegas Raiders. So that's enough for my rant. Let's get back into LSU football. Okay. We got Elaine Kiffin rant going on. I thought he was in the rear view. I still think Ole Miss is a top 10 team. I really do. Okay. Let's go to LSU fan. Leonard Fournette's LSU Twitter ablaze saying, when Frank Wilson's done, he wants the LSU running back's job. All right. And Tyrann Mathieu obviously wants to coach as well. Yeah, obviously I'm for it. Even if they can't be the head running back coach, or if they can be an associate coach, Jamari Roscoe's an associate defensive line coach. Obviously, these two players are on a different level as far as what they gave LSU, not only in terms of their own play, but their value. Tyrann, of course, has probably been one of the biggest LSU player donors of all time. So, yeah, you know, I'm definitely open to that, especially running backs coach, right? It's definitely one of the positions that is not quite as elaborate as being a defensive back coach in my mind. So, yeah, I mean, obviously that would be awesome if they come in as coaches, or if they don't want to do the recruiting, once again, they come in as an advisory role. I also think Fournette has some aspirations and Tyrann to do broadcasting, right? I know of quite a few former LSU players that want to do the broadcasting thing. And we all know pretty much every player is going to have a podcast at some point. All right. Now, here's what we're going to do. Next 10 to 15, we're going to answer as many as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep it going. Because your boy's got to pack. I got to actually pack warm clothes. Hate that. Okay. Let's go to Sherry Berry. She saw that Chris Hilton is out. AR and CJ is probable. What's going on with Chris Hilton? All right. It's a very good question. Now, it's amazing. And I'm not asking for sympathy here. Okay. I'm just not. But what I would say, as far as the game is concerned, I'll put up the injury report from yesterday. It could have been updated today. But this is what I know of as of now. Okay? As you can see, Harold Perkins out, Kyle Parker out. So let me go. Let me pull up the updated one. Okay. And the updated one has basically the same thing. Okay. I did not. Obviously, Brian Kelly just hit the podium. I wasn't able to listen to it because obviously we're going live. But I did not see AR. Who is AR? Let me find this. Who's AR? Is Aaron Anderson? I don't think Aaron Anderson's probable, is he? Unless Brian Kelly just said it at the press conference. Okay. Now. Okay. Versus Arkansas. Okay, that's my bad. Thank you, Jordan, for helping me with that. Okay. Yeah. CJ Daniels, probable. From what I've heard, it's trending in the right direction. I could also see this from an LSU vantage point of them being cautious with it because you do have another road game the next week. And you think at that position, you could survive it. All right. You know, as far as this injury report, the only two names that are up here are Hilton and Daniels. Now, to finish my thought, I don't ask for sympathy. I don't. Okay. But what I ask is when, and most of the people, and Jalen Braxton and Rodney Hill, we're going to get this out of the way. Braxton's a DB. He's been out for a while now. He's a corner who played a lot last year as a true freshman. Rodney Hill is a good running back for them, Florida State transfer, but they're plenty deep enough with Jaquindon Jackson and Braylon Russell. I will say Jaquindon Jackson has a vast injury history, and at the end of the Tennessee game, he was banged up, so Braylon Russell actually finished that game out. All right. I do think CJ Daniels will play. I do. Okay, but I also see if he does play, it could be very, very, very limited. And obviously, Brian Kelly brought up the Tre'Davious Green thing. Will we see more of him at wide receiver? Probably so in the red zone. Probably so in particular. Now, back to the sympathy thing. I wish everyone that sent me an angry message about literally one of the most innocuous tweets. And there are times when I can be very critical publicly of a play call, a coach, or anything like that. But I sent out a very innocuous tweet before the South Alabama game. Okay. It wasn't anything crazy. I just said, hey, this situation is weird. Okay. And I had started hearing that this situation with Chris Hilton could be a lot worse than what was put out there. I didn't know, hey, it's I didn't know he would still be out now and potentially out versus Arkansas. And I even tweeted during the bye, hey, positive thinking. Maybe we'll get Chris back for Ole Miss. To show everyone that I'm not anti-Chris Hilton, but I just said that the situation was weird. All right. And everyone's like, you don't know what you're talking about. You shouldn't call any situation weird. And I wasn't saying Chris was weird. I wasn't saying fans were weird. I wasn't saying anything. I'm just saying this is strange. Okay. And, you know, and everyone I talked to that is in the know didn't really know a whole lot other than we'll see. We're hoping for the best. So we don't have all the details. There's plenty of different rumors about what's going on with the lower body injury. All I could say is I'm praying for Chris. I know that the criticisms is starting to wear on him. And what I say about him is not criticism at all. Right? It's a guy who is loved in the locker room. It's a guy who was picked to go on the Africa trip a few years ago and waited his turn. Had a dominant spring, had a dominant fall camp, and this happened. And he had never fully been able to recoup or recuperate or whatever. But I remember, I don't remember which player said this, but like the biggest, baddest dudes who have ever played the game, some of those guys were unfreaking believably injury prone, right? Like the most dominant force we think we have ever seen in the game of football is Rob Gronkowski, right? He had this kind of Shaq aspect to him, like this larger than life figure. And Gronk was consistently hurt, body consistently breaking down. Some and you know, he obviously played for a long time and is very successful, but some bodies just aren't built for this, or they break down a little bit easier. All right. And that's the unfortunate nature of this. There's a lot of guys that faded off, and a lot of the reason they faded off is because of consistent injuries, right? One guy in particular who played so many snaps for us through injury and, you know, didn't really have an NFL career at all with Saron Black, right? I used to host a radio show with Saron Black, the great left tackle, and his body just broke down. You know, he just played so many snaps. And that's the thing that's disappointing about the Chris Hilton situation, that he's not played a lot of snaps. And we're still at this point. But you know, I obviously, if he could play, he would be playing at this point. This is not one of these scenarios where he knows he's a first-round pick, and you can, you know, if it's 50-50 of him playing or not playing, you know, he's not going to play if he was a first-round pick. But he's not. He's got to go out there and prove it. Trust me, I know of one scout that had Chris Hilton on his radar going into the season because of what he had heard at practice. And he's not been able to do it. I've met Chris's parents, great people. They love LSU. They love how selfless he is. But he just can't stay healthy. And it's a harsh reality. I think most of it, and also to be fair to so many fans being critical, is that they don't like being strung along, right? I don't think anyone's being critical of Chris per se, but just the situation. Okay. Adano, it could be onto something. Maybe he's too fast. He can't handle it. The Zion Williamson effect. Sometimes that might be the case. All right. But it's a good question. It's a good question from Cherry Berry. And here's one from Sam. Do you think BK shutting down Chris Hilton and saving him for next year? That very well could be in the cards. Especially with, you know, Kyren leaving. Aaron has a high likelihood of leaving. Maybe Xavion goes. And look, there's not a proven younger LSU wide receiver that's come to the forefront yet. My Kyle Parker's also, he's caught one like great, great, great pass. Shelton Sampson's not where we expected him to be. So maybe we get a Jelani Watkins signing. But I think at this point they're just going to redshirt Jelani Watkins and wait maybe until the Alabama game where he can play all the games. And if he's not played yet, if he's not played a snap yet, which I don't think he has, and he can fully redshirt. Okay? How do I feel about my wide receiver room moving forward? They'll go get somebody out of the portal, right? They'll go get like a here's what I would say. Let's just say Kyren Lacy wasn't in this wide receiver room. All right. If he wasn't in this room, CJ Daniels would have a lot more catches. Because there would need to be someone that steps up and he would immediately be the outside alpha, right? So they will go find somebody from the portal and pay what is necessary to get him here. I also think if I were a good wide receiver and I had the opportunity to go play potentially with Garrett Nussmeier coming back for a fifth season, at the school that's produced wide receiver talent at a rate that we have honestly never seen, then that's where I want to go. Okay? So it would, let's just say the wide receiver room is just bare and all the top guys go. Well, you're telling me as a portal guy and I can play where the legends play? Also, something else about that is the transfer portal is never short on wide receivers. Never. I don't think it ever will be. Same thing is true about the NFL draft. The 7-on-7-ification of our football, we're always going to have elite wide receivers. Now, to what extent are those wide receivers going to be elite? Well, obviously, we're in the middle of like one of the best true freshman wide receiver classes the sport has ever seen, right? And obviously Ryan Williams and Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Wingo at Texas are the big ones. But, you know, there's others, right? Cam Coleman is really good. And Auburn has another five-star receiver. So, look, it's one of those things where I think they'll be fine moving forward. All right? Jared says, I'm not fat. I just don't have the frame for my weight. That's great. That's how I feel too, Jared. All right, now we get to the prediction. I do think LSU wins this game. I do. Has Arkansas, to me, played closer to their ceiling and has put together a better product compared to expectation? Yes, I don't think anyone would disagree with that. You know, for me, I like to split LSU games up into halves, right? And part of the reason why I like to do that is because it increases the sample size of games, right? We tend to look at games as just the game when we all know games fluctuate, right? So I know a lot of people disagree with me, just take the game for what it is, but I split it up in halves. And LSU has had a lot of rocky halves of football up to this point, right? Started really slow versus Ole Miss, started really slow versus South Carolina, still find ways to win, all right? Had a rocky-ish start versus UCLA, but I feel this LSU defense is starting to gain an identity. We had a game from Zion Alexander that was really good, all right? So I like LSU to get it done. And I think the final score will be, I don't think LSU is just going to light them up offensively because I do think the crowd noise will play a role. I would guess the score would be 27-21, something along those lines. I think they're is a non-zero chance that Talen Green isn't at 100%. So as LSU floats around a 2.5-point favorite, I actually like LSU to win, and I'm actually leaning towards the under here. Okay. What's up, Taylor? Good to see you. Sorry if you already did this. Could you compare Arkansas's defense to other teams we have played so far? I haven't watched them much. Yeah, I'd love to. All right. So in the trenches, they are not as good as South Carolina, and they are definitely not as good as what we just had versus Ole Miss. All right. So I really do like that matchup for this LSU offensive line. Now, this defensive line doesn't suck. They're older, too. They're very, very, very experienced, right? We shared the jersey numbers earlier. 0 and 5 are probably their best DTs. 97's an end who's starting to come into his own. And 40, Landon Jackson, the LSU transfer, who's now been there 3 years, is their best player up front. But this is not a special playmaking Arkansas defense. They play well as a unit. They're really schemed up well by Travis Williams, their defensive coordinator. So you're going to see a very blitz-heavy approach, I feel, in this game. So our communication is going to have to be really good. And I also think from, you know, LSU's vantage point, you like their receivers going up against Arkansas secondary, which is better than what it's been in years past. Arkansas, honestly, has had so many years of just atrocious secondary play. This unit is a slightly better unit than many expected them to be. All right. Once again, Metcalf, number 18, is their big guy. Okay. Now, to follow up here on Taylor's Super Chat, I do feel from an LSU vantage point, they also would like to get Mason Taylor plenty of touches in this game. But the way that he's been playing and how effective, you know, he's been not only, you know, in the intermediate, but vertically. He's had a few explosive pass catches in these past couple of games. So we'll see. I think Caden is fine. I do. I like how they've still put John Emery on the injury report. I love it. Show some love to the guys that are already out. Now, I saved this for the end. One thing I've noticed. So for those that aren't familiar, I do an SEC channel. Power Hour SEC. A lot of you know that. Okay. There are three teams I focus on mostly. Arkansas, Tennessee, and Oklahoma. They show me the most love. And that's that. Okay. One thing that Arkansas struggles with is a blitz. All right. Talen Green struggles seeing muddy post-snap pictures. All right. So what does that mean? Well, that means if you switch up what you're doing in the back seven, he will run into issues. All right. And if there was a message I could send to Blake Baker, having been someone that's watched pretty much every snap Arkansas's played this year, this could be your first pick six game. All right. And once again, turnovers are very unpredictable. You never really know when they're going to come. But, you know, Garrett's had his turnover issues as well. Talen Green can lock in. Now, you can go on Patreon right now, still up for free, only for tonight, our free breakdown of the one simple passing route that we must defend versus Arkansas. You can watch it for yourself. You can see where the pick sixes can come. We have to be ready for it. It's also been a route that we struggled defending. So it's free. You can go check it out for yourself, patreon.com/LSUfootball. this is such a nerdy math joke, and I'm like an analytics guy, but I'm not like all in. All right. This guy named Kent Wayroch says, bub means is pretty cool, but bub medians would diminish outliers better. That's a Jared dad joke right there. Bub means is good, but bub medians would diminish outliers better. That's so funny. Yes, pick six for LSU to the house. Do you think if Nuss had a short game, would we be elite? Short game. You're talking about intermediate stuff? He's been great in the intermediate. Where he has just not been good is the go balls. He has had his issues throwing straight vertical balls. Now, there's a differentiation in go ball type, okay? He has not had as bad of an issue on slot fades, okay? He just hasn't. Slot fades could be better, though, still. His slot fade ball could still be better. Granted, we don't have the slot fade weapons like we did last year with Malik and BTJ. And we put Kyron in the slot a lot more last year. But where Garrett is really struggled is just the go ball from an X down the sideline. All right. Missed a CJ walk-in versus South Carolina. The start the Ole Miss drive, we missed one to Kyron down the left sideline. And he's got to be better on that throw. All right. Paris, thank you for your super chat earlier in the week. It's good to see you. How about this? I know Paris is a big college basketball fan. Tony Bennett retiring today. It is amazing how there are so many college basketball coaches that have won natties and have had a lot of success that are just retiring. They don't want to deal with the portal. They don't want to deal with the NIL. And apparently Tony Bennett did not have a health issue. He just said, hey, I'm done. And he was ironically asked about Jay Wright last week. And he still said, hey, I'm done. Stick a fork in me. Okay, so you have him retiring. It's interesting. It's very interesting. He did play the most boring brand of basketball imaginable. So I'm not going to miss him. But then again, I'm not like the most diehard college hoop head either. Now, I also want to say RIP to Liam Payne, right? I was a huge One Direction fan. Liam Payne died yesterday. Very tragic. Very, very, very tragic. Man, that hit me in the feels. 1D. The peak of boy bands. There hasn't been a boy band like them since. Hilton made a great catch, yeah. What makes sense? I mean, what's wrong with being a One Direction fan? Right? It drew me closer to my cousins who introduced me to the music when I moved to D.C. And that was like at the beginning of the One Direction craze. And my wife loves Harry Styles. So, yeah, I guess it makes sense that people listen to music that makes you happy. But I've always liked boy bands, right? Boys to Men. So Paris, oh, you do think it's medical. Interesting. Paris is definitely one of our sharper college basketball fans out there. Yeah, I don't know. I am interested, though. Arkansas's kind of in a weird spot because their football team's like kind of decent. But, you know, Arkansas's the story in college basketball, right? The two biggest stories in college basketball is Arkansas and Cooper Flagg. Tanking for Cooper Flagg. How good is he going to be? You know, some feel this is going to be like a Zion year or like Durant at Texas. One of the best one and done's ever. UGA just lost a 2026 quarterback. Interesting. LSU does not have a 2026 quarterback committed. Granted, how many quarterbacks want to come in 2026 when Bryce Underwood was there in 2025? I don't know. Obviously, LSU, one of their biggest focuses is 2027 with Colton Nussmeier, Elijah Hayden, and, of course, Trent Seaborn. But, yeah, the two biggest scores in college basketball are Duke and Arkansas. I still don't understand. Like, I'm still trying to understand what makes too much sense. I like, well, that like One Direction. One Direction is just, it's a good boy band. I like Backstreet Boys, NSYNC. Oh, you're messing with me? No, because look. Everybody thinks it's like not cool to like the boy bands. But the hottest take that'll get me canceled is One Direction was better than NSYNC and Backstreet Boys. All right. That's saying something coming from a guy in his mid-30s. Now, let's run through some other games this weekend. Missouri, 4-point favorites over Auburn. Do we like the Tigers here? Oklahoma, a 1.5 favorite over South Carolina. Tennessee getting 3 at home versus Alabama. I'm leaning Crimson Tide there to cover. Texas A&M, 18-point favorites versus Mississippi State. LSU, of course, 2.5, like we said earlier. 56.5, I do like the under in this game. Ball State and Vanderbilt. I also think one more thing for the LSU-Arkansas game. I could see a world where both teams are conservative on fourth down. Vanderbilt, the talk of the SEC this year, 26.5-point favorites. Then we get to this one. If you would have told me before the season that I was going to get 5 points with the dogs as dogs versus Texas and Steve Sarkisian, I am taking that all day, every day. All right? Let's see. So this would be the fourth game in 4 weeks for Georgia. They did not look great versus Mississippi State. But they did end strong. Michael Van Buren threw all over him. Not necessarily someone you would consider to be one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC. So you have Texas at home. A game kicking off slightly after Arkansas LSU. And then we get the nightcap here. Kentucky at Florida. Kentucky 1.5-point favorites. 5 points. You're telling me the Georgia Bulldogs, 5-point underdogs. So Chance says, don't look at the brands. Don't look at the teams. Don't look at recent history. But Georgia could look at this as, hey, this is our playoff elimination game. Because Georgia still has to play Florida and Ole Miss. Florida in a rivalry game. And Ole Miss, and they have to play Tennessee. Still left on the schedule. And Georgia Tech is not a gimme. Right? Texas, of course, can lose this game and still easily get a first round bye and play in the SEC championship game. Now, I'm going to give you the play that I actually like the most this weekend. I don't like the line movement going in my favor here, going in my direction. I actually really like Kentucky to pull off this win versus Florida. I really, really, really do. I know that sounds counterintuitive. I've always been labeled as the anti-Mark Stoops guy. But give me Stoops in this spot. All right, Mark Stoops teams can be tricky, pesky on the road, right? They played their best game away from Kentucky at Ole Miss, right? I understand Kentucky coming off a loss here versus Vanderbilt last week. I thought I was going to actually get some points with the Wildcats when I looked into this matchup, but this game has just kind of been hovering as a pick 'em, and now Kentucky's 1.5-point favorites. DJ Lagway, a true freshman, going up against maybe the best defensive line that he's faced. You know, last week, of course, he had the Tennessee game. For some reason, I'm just feeling that this is a Wildcats win. All right. They won this game by multiple possessions a few years ago on the road. And yeah, it was a little misleading. They had a thrown right to him pick six in that game. So I guess I'll lean Kentucky. What is your lock of the week before we get out of here? Give me your lock of the week in the chat. Let's see it. No lock. Carter, who's a transfer that really hurt LSU? Yeah, there's not a whole lot. Obviously, you could argue the two biggest are both played for Arkansas, right? Dwight McLaughlin obviously was a huge one for us last year, and he was just really good at Arkansas. And Landon Jackson, but we've been fine at defensive end. Last year, we could have desperately used him, but our defensive end under Kevin Peoples' play has been really good. So he's not really been that big of a loss. Really not anyone else. And that actually extends to some of the recruiting battles that we've lost, right? There's not really a whole lot of recruiting battles that we've lost that has just absolutely killed us outside of a few members of the secondary, right? Like, Derek Williams makes us a way better football team. Like I said earlier in the week about my Jordan Gilbert ring it. And obviously Jacoby Matthews would be our best safety right now. They both would be our best safeties right now. And both of them were just massive losses. I mean, that's all there is to it. And are there a few others? Yeah, but you know, for the most part, the recruits that LSU has lost out on over the past decade or so have not just destroyed them. And ironically, a lot of them have been DBs, right? Landon Collins was big. Obviously, Cam Robinson was big. Tim Williams was big. But a lot of those were, you know, all went to one school. And there were some other, like, flips, like a Kenyon Green, Caden Stearns. I mean, those are obviously very different. But, you know, as far as portal losses, one that everyone's going to point to is Jack Besh. All right. And yeah, Jack Besh would be one of our best players if he was still here. Okay. But I understood both sides of it, of you know, what happened, right? I understood, you know, LSU felt comfortable about their wide receiver room when he left. And, well, they were good last year. LSU's wide receiver room was very good. And I understood Jack wanting to leave. with what LSU was returning. And then obviously Kayshon held the room hostage. I mean, that's all there is to it. So it's it is what it is. Corey Kiner. Yeah, he's been good. He's been good. He was good as a true freshman too. But most of that was against weaker competition, and obviously at Cincinnati, not as hard as playing as running back in the SEC, but he's been good. He'd be a good player for us. Let's go here to Boris. Power Hour LSU is my lock of the week. Ha, 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 ha. Really enjoyed your argument with Blake Ruffino earlier this week. Blake and I argue all the time. I mean, the best, most unfiltered podcast would be he and I in our phone conversations, right? Those get violent. And the funny thing is, I've only ever talked to Blake in person one time. All right, I always mess with him. I went to his house, and he made me a Totino's pizza. Totino's. Now, Blake's a big guy, and we all know he knows how to cook. You made me a Totino's pizza. That's what you treat me with. I'm not high maintenance, but Totino's. But yeah, so you know, intense argument with Garrett Nussmeyer. And look, he made some good points, and it forced me to rewatch LSU versus Ole Miss again to go over a few of the points. Were there a few more interceptable balls that he threw? Yeah. And, you know, interceptable passes is what we want to avoid. I just think, though, that and you want to know why the a lot of these NFL guys are very interested in Garrett Nussmeyer is this offense is not really a gimme offense. You look at all these great LSU offenses, a lot of these offenses aren't guys just running wide open, right? It's a lot of difficult throws, difficult catches from truly transcendent athletic marvels. And that's what the NFL likes to see. There are no Tennessee offenses in the NFL that's popcorny and can open things up. No one plays this ridiculously fast hurry-up style in the NFL. It just doesn't exist. You want to know why? Because all the defensive players are so freaking good in the NFL. I think the gap in defensive talent from college to the NFL is way wider than the gap in offensive talent from college to the NFL. All right? But the only exception being the offensive line. Right? NFL offensive linemen are way better than the college guys. But at both levels, they're lacking in terms of good players at both positions. And that's part of my defense of Garrett Nussmeyer. There's just so many things he has done that is very difficult to do. Okay? The receiver he's probably thrown to the most, not available. You thought he was going to be available, not available. CJ Daniels, not available. Aaron Anderson, who he had very little chemistry with last year, he's turned into something. Aaron's made Garrett look better and vice versa as well. And then, of course, Kyron's been Kyron. He's lived up to all expectation, and Mason has been Mason. He's exceeded expectations this year and taken his game to another level. So, look, a lot of the things Garrett did were ridiculous. Now, one thing I would say about my very, very, very pro-Garrett argument on Ruffino's show and on my channel all this week is, and, you know, I would have said this on any Ole Miss channel if I would have been invited on any Ole Miss channel. I obviously did an Arkansas show and do my own Arkansas stuff on the SEC channel, but it is really crazy what Pete Golding decided to do defensively. I was very shocked he decided to play two man under and a lot of just man-to-man schemes versus LSU's receivers. Okay? So that made the post-snap picture a lot easier for Garrett Nussmeier. All right. Now, did it change some of the throws that he made? No. It doesn't change, like, how difficult the throws were themselves, but it did clear up the post-snap thought process. And I was perplexed at some of the things Golden tried to do defensively. I would have never been caught dead doing some of the things that he did. And, you know, so many people have been bitching about Lane Kiffin's play calling when you should be talking about Golden. That's what cost you the game. Let's go to Paris with the Super Chat. He decides to keep it going. Let's do it. I think LSU had to hit the portal. Yeah, we discussed this previously. Yeah, they'll be very active in the portal at wide receiver. Shelton Sampson has got to show me something this year. Yeah, I mean, it's definitely been, for me, one of the bigger misses for me. Shelton got a year one-ish grade from me. And obviously it's year two now, and it's just not been good. Yeah, outside of a few practice grabs. So if you would have told me watching Shelton Sampson in high school that he would have not caught a single pass through a year and a half of his career, I would have told you, dang, that's a crazy ACL recovery he's going through. That's the only way to explain it. He'd be hurt. But that's not what happened. He's been healthy, and we've just not seen anything. So, I don't know. Obviously, the talent is there. You know, he was so gifted at Catholic High. I mean, he really stood out. But it's just not come to fruition yet. Okay? No need to give up on him this early. Okay? What's up, Cody? Welcome. One of our Power Hour SEC guys. Environment's going to be too much for LSU. It is going to be a raucous environment. It swallowed Tennessee whole. All right. So there you go. All right, we'll do it again. Paris and Boris extended it. Next 5 to 10 minutes. We'll answer as many questions as we possibly can. But if you super chat, we'll keep it going. Now, base pill clip says Lance Hurd has been a big loss for us. Well, I'll say this to someone that's interviewed Lance. I like Lance. People close to Lance watch his show. I would love Lance Hurd to come back to LSU next season. He would be a very good player for us. It's been a tough year at Tennessee. Tennessee fans have not been happy. He's been hurt, and the Arkansas game was bad. Okay? It was bad. It was bad. Hate to say it. But he would be still our number six offensive lineman, and it would also give us a little bit more flexibility, right? So, like, for instance, Miles Frazier was struggling versus Ole Miss. So we could have spelled Miles Frazier, knocked Emory Jones inside, and put Lance Hurd at right tackle. Now you're just thinner, right? And your number six guy going into the season, Tyree Adams, is now hurt. So you don't have that flexibility without Lance there. But, so yeah, he has hurt us. But at the same time, it's not been a pretty season for him. Jared, thank you for the super. The funny thing about the super chat, the 99 cent one, is it pops up in my chat as like this red, and it looks like it's a 99.99 one. Huh? We'll keep it going. Jared kept it going. The funny thing is, like, I never like to leave like a super chat like full. So the 99 cent one registers as 99.99. So there you go. Let me see if I can get this to show all of you guys love for the super. Let's see if I can get it going. Yeah. Let's get it a T-spot. That's funny. That is so weird that it's silly to do that. So don't forget, if you're going to the game, Friday night, it's going down. Pretty pumped up. Yeah, I will tell you this. Okay. Sports media can be slimy. Because a lot of people don't like Blake and I hated each other. I do not. He could not be further from the truth. And I know not everybody likes Blake. I definitely know because I am myself. And not everyone likes me. And that's fine. With that. All right. There are so much like just sliminess in sports media because there's just not like a gazillion dollars like Stephen A. Smith makes or whatever. And it is so crazy, the sports betting guys, dude. They get in so many fights, right? I went on a huge sports betting network. I was on VSiN, and my picks flamed out. I've had my worst year picking games. I've had my worst year picking NFL games in a pick'em group that I'm in. So it's been tough. You have downswings. You know, last year I was okay. The previous year I was actually really good. I'm still a winning better. I've been mostly fortunate over the past couple seasons. But this stuff's hard. And the thing about the sports betting industry is not only are you trying to win as a better, but everyone's actually tracking and playing your plays, and you got the juice, and there's all these different things being thrown your way. Sports betting media beefs are insane, dude. It's like, I just got a tweet from someone saying, hey, I know you make all your plays illegally betting from your mom's basement in Canada. I'm like, damn. Damn. That's crazy. What's up, Tony? All right, y'all. If you want to meet up with me Friday night, once again, we're doing a meetup. City Park is the name of the bar in Fayetteville. I will be there at 7:30 with Jared drinking some beers. We'll see you there.
Okay. S. Power. Out. LSU. Buh.
LSU wins, and tonight we are doing... Oh, I don't know what we're doing. I got to go pick something up. Big shout out to Jared, Taylor, Boris, Paris, and Jared. So we got any super chats, cash apps, or anything like that? We do not. All right, y'all. We'll talk to you soon. Let's go.